Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 16th of July, Anno Domini 2011, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, stuff to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes. Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or, of course, toll-free at 1-800-790-0415. We're going to start with a news item before we go to the phones. Driving distractions, primarily by cell phones and other electronic devices, are associated with up to 25% of U.S. car crashes, according to a report released on Thursday. The study by the Governor's Highway Safety Association, a nonprofit group that works to improve traffic safety, assessed research for more than 350 scientific papers published since 2000. It showed that drivers are distracted up to half the time, and the crashes caused by distractions range from minor damage to fatal injury. Cell phone use raises the risk of crashing, but texting is likely to increase crash risk more than cell phone use. Despite all that has been written about driver distraction, there's still a lot that we do not know, Governor's Highway Safety Association Executive Director Barbara Harsha said. Clearly, more studies need to be done addressing both the scope of the problem and how to effectively address it. Data from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration shows that in 2009 alone, nearly 5,500 fatalities and about 500,000 injuries resulted from crashes involving a distracted driver. Deaths due to distracted driving presented 16% of traffic fatalities in 2009, which is a rise from 10% in 2005. When it comes to distracted driving, one thing is clear. Any activities that take extended focus away from the primary task of driving are both unsafe and unwise, Linda Tran, spokeswoman for the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, said. There is no conclusive evidence on whether hands-free cell phone use is less risky than handheld use, the report said. Evidence also is lacking on whether cell phone or texting bans have reduced crashes or injuries. The Governor's Highway Safety Association suggested a complete ban on cell phone use, hands-free or not, for novice drivers who are the highest risk. It also recommended a texting ban for all drivers. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like to remind you, is banning cell phone use of any sort while driving, brilliant, might be a good idea, you'll pry my phone for my cold. And so far we've got 36 votes. Most of you think it's brilliant. Of course, I know you'll have a lot more to say. So if you'll check the little yellow box underneath the poll, you can click on the give us your opinion link, and it will take you to another website where you can enter your opinion. So far, we've got 9 people who have their opinions there. Please keep it clean, and that'll be good.
Well, New York State this week, Governor Cuomo signed a new law making texting while driving a primary offense. Until now, it was only a secondary offense, so they could give you a ticket if they pulled you over for something else. Now it's a primary offense. They can pull you over for texting, and the fine is up to $150. What's interesting is that the law is rather vague, and it says that you it's a primary offense if a driver is caught using a portable device. So that also would include the GPS in your car that you need to follow directions with. That
right.
Definitely includes your cell phone, includes an MP3 player, iPod, anything like that. So you're using that to get directions or listening to music. I've always half joked about the distracted drivers, blaming cell phones or whatnot. Try driving with your spouse. That's a distraction.
Never.
you know, fiddling with the radio. I had an old girlfriend ages ago.
That was Steve Ray,
yeah.
Folks.
Yeah. We look forward to your emails.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend ages ago that wrecked one of my cars. She backed into a dump truck that she didn't see.
Okay.
Or not backed into, forward, drove forward into the back of a dump truck because she was fiddling with the radio.
Perfect.
And
yeah.
So it's,
they say Ernie Kovacs died looking for the cigarette lighter or actually lighting a match on his shoe.
Yeah.
While driving his wife's car, which he was unfamiliar with.
Yeah. There's so many things that distract you. What's interesting is watching Top Gear from Britain.
Not on the motorcycle.
They talk about the differences between European cars and American cars. In American cars, you've got 27 cup holders. You've got, you know, all of this stuff in the car to make it nice and pleasant.
Yeah.
European cars, you drive.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, because you're driving at 150 miles an hour. Excuse me, 11 kilometers an hour.
Yeah.
Well, that's like the T-shirt I have.
Yeah.
The constant about that. Get on, hang on, and shut up.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. Don't distract me. Last week, I almost got killed coming here. I'm on the three lanes on 590 North, coming up to the exit, coming past an exit that I wasn't taking. And there was a woman driving, and it clearly was a young girl because I saw her very close, talking on a phone. And I was in the right-hand lane. And the exit was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
She clearly wanted to be in that exit. She came across all three lanes of traffic. I was in the third one.
Mm.
I'm beeping, slowing. She's coming right for my door. Her friend, who's sitting with her, is pounding on her arm, and she's ignoring everybody to talk on the phone.
Whoa.
I slammed on my brakes. She barely missed my front bumper. I don't think to this day she knows she did that. I honestly don't think so.
2 years ago, I was going up Culver Road, coming up to East Avenue. I was coming from Park Ave area. So I'm coming up, and I was going to turn left on East Avenue. So I'm headed north on Culver, coming up, and I go to get over in the left-hand lane. And this young lady who's on this phone is staying straight, and all of a sudden she's starting to weave over into my lane. Like, what the? I turn around, look to the right of here, and there she is on her phone. I lay on my air horns.
Because you're on the bike.
Yes, I'm on the bike.
And you have air horns in your bike, truck horns.
This is a very large motorcycle anyway. It's not one of those little tiny bikes you miss.
It's a very large, and it's a very visible blue.
And, I laid on the air horns. That girl threw the phone off to the right, and surprisingly, and tingle, quick, pulled over in her lane. And I'm sitting there trying, I'm giving her this. She would not even make eye contact.
Mm-hmm.
Whether she was going to the right or not, she went to the right. Just mm-hmm. a quick.
Well, then half a mile down the road, she's in an accident because she's on the floor trying to get her phone.
Exactly.
All I remember is seeing that phone go, woo, over the side, and she's doing it. And quick, she couldn't make that right-hand turn fast enough because, I was going to give her an earful.
Yeah.
It's like, you son of a gun.
Yep.
Almost shut me off.
Well, and it's a real problem, and I don't know. But if you want to give us a call about that, please do. The number is 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415, just like Linda did from Greece, New York. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Okay, I got a comment first about the cell phone.
Yeah.
The Greece police are the worst offenders. I don't know how many times I've seen them on the cell phone, and they're supposed to take care of the law. You know, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's always annoying seeing people in authority, flagrantly violate the law.
No, they are authorized to use their cell phones.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay, my question
for personal calls or only for business?
Well, you got to determine that. Because a lot of their stuff goes on to a different, instead of using the regular radios, they're on cell phones because of different things.
Yeah.
Okay, my question is, last week I called about my new phone in the Android market. I downloaded a lot of things. Now I can't get out. What's going on with the Android market? They've eliminated half of the stuff that I was using. I can't use it anymore. What's going on?
I don't know what it is you downloaded or why it's gone. But
I downloaded Twitter for the Android phone. I downloaded a lot of Angry Bird for the Android phone. I went to use it, and now it says cannot be found. They've something about a malicious code I don't know. But half of the things that I've got on there, I can no longer. These are things that everybody would have.
Well, I remember reading. I'm trying to find it here. Google just withdrew several thousand fake apps that were on the Android market that were either malicious or trying to steal private information. So maybe you got the fake Angry Birds, not the real Angry Birds.
Well, it's not even in the market anymore. I mean, they've...
Right. Because they pulled it because it was a fake program.
Yeah, I can't get Twitter. I can't get anything that I. So I'm thinking to myself, is there any suggestion what I can do? Because, you know,
I just downloaded Angry Birds yesterday.
Huh?
I just downloaded Angry Birds yesterday.
It's still up there.
You have to find searching for Angry Birds should work.
The Android market was Angry Bird Real. That's the only one I found. I can't find the other ones.
I don't know,
yeah,
Steve.
I'm searching right now, and it's finding a whole bunch of them.
I don't know quite what happened to you, but let me suggest this first before you do anything else.
Okay.
From the Android market, download a program called Lookout.
That's what I had on my phone, and it's no longer there. That's exactly what I did. I had Lookout Security on my phone. I went to use it, and it said this URL is not found.
Well, a URL would be a website, not an application.
Well, you know, I'm not too familiar. I had it on there, and for some reason, Lookout is no longer available on the Android market. I'm going through my phone to do this. Now, should I try doing it through my computer?
Well, just to see what's still there, yeah.
Are you sure you actually downloaded the program and didn't just have a bookmark to the web page?
No, I downloaded Lookout Security. It was running on my phone a couple days ago. I went to check it out, and I clicked on it, and it says, "I'm sorry, this is no longer available." I went, "What?"
Well, that sounds like it might have been an old version.
Yeah, but I can't even update these things almost daily. I can't even go into the market to check it out. That's why I'm perplexed.
No, I understand that. Is the Android market an app itself,
or is it just a website on the phone?
It's on the phone.
It's an app on the phone.
Okay, so that.
But you can get to it from just.
From the web as well.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Because I've been doing a lot of this stuff from my phone.
Yeah, so
now.
If you go to the web browser on your phone, you can also go to the Android market as well.
I've got the Android market on my phone. Okay.
Well, are you using the web page or are you using the application?
I'm using the app that's on my phone.
Try using the web page and see what happens, because that should also work.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll tell you, I tried that. I went to the web page and I went Lookout, and I said install. It doesn't install it on my phone, and it did the other day. Now all of a sudden, for some reason, I can't install Lookout. I can't even find it in the market on my phone.
Well, but Linda, listen. Can you find it on the web from a regular computer web browser? That will tell us whether the problem is on your phone, because I'm on the website right now and I see it right there. And if you can't find it from your phone, what it sounds like is you've picked up one of those viruses that's blocking it.
What do I do?
Well, the best thing to do is reset your phone. At this point, without having Lookout on it, the best thing you can do is reset your phone.
Uh-huh.
I just went over to the Android marketplace and the Angry Birds is there.
You're right. It's working on the web. So I'd like to wonder if it's working on the web browser on her phone versus the app on her phone.
Oh, wait a minute.
But it sounds like she's just got to erase and reinstall the phone.
When you select, even when you go on your phone and say install, do you see, like on mine, it goes up at the top. You see it that it'll let you know that it downloaded it and installed on your phone. It gives you a notification that it actually installed it on your phone.
Okay, when I go to the web, when I hit the market app on my phone.
No, we understand that, Linda. The question is, can you get to it using the browser, not the market app? the browser app and then going to market.android.com.
No, I can find it, yes. I'll say install, but it won't install it on my phone.
And do you get an error message?
No, it just doesn't do anything.
Then you need to reset your phone. That'll mean you're going to have to reinstall everything.
Well,
but
I
it
don't
sounds
have that much on there.
Okay, then you're going to have to reset your phone to factory defaults.
And that varies for every phone, so it's you may have to look in the manual for your phone.
Well, but
no, I know how to do it because I've already done it once because I had a voicemail problem. I tell you, Best Buy is the best for fixing Android phones. So anyway, get off the point. Yeah, okay, I can do that. So, but see, that's what I had. I had Lookout Security on there to avoid this problem.
Right, except that what's likely happened, and it happens to everybody, Linda, is, you know, we've talked about this before, it's a leapfrog game. And they got ahead of you.
That's not very hard to do.
Well, but that happens, and so your best bet is to reset the phone. The first thing you should install is Lookout.
Okay.
And that'll give you the latest, newest version. And then, you know, make sure that you don't install anything that's not from the Android market and make sure you're picking the official app.
Yeah, but how do you know? I mean, I go into the Android market. How do you know if it's the official app if it comes on the Android market? How do you know if it's official or not?
Yeah, it tells you who it's from is as part of the information about that application.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, I'll try that again because I'll tell you, you know, I loved it until 2 days ago. Now I can't get anything, so I must have gotten hit with something.
You must have reset your phone. You should be fine. We got to take a break.
Thank you, love.
Okay, we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Sound Bites on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
I'm back, everybody. I'm Nick French.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 22 minutes after the hour, we have Chris from Gates on the line. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Thanks, guys. I've been traveling a little bit this summer, and I notice when I'm in the airports, I have an iTouch and an iPad. I've tried to do some of the free Wi-Fi, and it'll pick up an IP address and get the submask, but it never gives me the router DNS or domains, and I'm wondering what is wrong with my devices that I can't get these free Wi-Fis.
So you can't get any websites or anything?
No, it'll go as far as giving me the IP address and the MAC number, but it never gives you a router, a DNS, or a search domain. So what I did is I do have a 3G iPad, and I did do a one-month thing on that, and it'll pick that up okay. So I don't know why I'm not being able to get the free ones, though, is my question.
Do you have your Wi-Fi set up so that it's manual? See, there are two ways you can get Wi-Fi. One is automatically just take all the information that the Wi-Fi gives you.
And that's usually called DHCP.
And that's DHCP. And then the other way is manually where you decide, you put in your own information for routers and everything else.
Well, when you're at the airport, it says choose a network, and, you know, it gives you a whole list of everybody that's there kind of thing, and it'll say free public Wi-Fi, and I check that. I get an IP address and a MAC, but it never fills in the router or the DNS or the search domain, and it keeps circling and circling.
Yeah, we got that, thanks.
Because that's a fake network designed to steal the information off your computer.
Oh, okay.
Never hook to something called free public Wi-Fi, ever.
Okay.
What you want to do is ask the folks at the airport what their network is called.
And it's usually the name of the airport.
Yeah.
Well, I have seen some. I was flying Southwest, and they had an SWA, and it let me on. It wasn't locked, but it never gives me the router and the DNS and any of that other stuff.
Okay, here's the thing, Chris. I asked this before, but I apparently was unclear. I apologize.
Yeah.
In your setup, not when you connect, but in the actual setup of the iPad or the iTouch, you can set DNS or manual as the way you connect to any network.
Oh. I don't know where that is then, I guess.
It's in that same spot you're looking at the IP address.
Okay.
There'll be a setting for DHCP versus manual, and it has to be set to DHCP. And yep. then under that, there's a setting for proxy.
Oh, yeah.
And almost all the time that has to be off, but it depends okay. on where you're connecting.
Right. If you have a proxy set up, then what that means is the Wi-Fi says, oh, I don't get to go to the Internet directly. I go to the proxy, and from there I go to the Internet. So it's still looking for the proxy if you have one set.
So, okay. So generally that's off, but you have to ask the whoever's providing the Wi-Fi if it should be there or not.
Okay.
And then once you connect to the network, try opening a website and see what happens.
So if I'm having trouble, I don't want the proxy at off. I want it manual.
You have to ask whoever's giving you the Wi-Fi what the proxy setting should yeah. be.
At the airport, you should be able to get that information.
At the information
generally,
desk.
Generally, you want that proxy off. Unless somebody specifically tells you you must use a proxy server, and here's how you get to it. Then you want it off.
Okay.
That should let you get there without any trouble. If in fact, standard DHCP is working at the airport, and last time yeah. I was there, it is.
Yes, yeah.
If standard DHCP is working, it will give you everything unless you've turned proxy on, in which case the iPad or iTouch will ignore that because you've told it to ignore it because you've told it use the proxy server instead.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'll have to.
yeah. You got to look in that same space and make sure that for each place you go to, the proxy server is turned off.
And sometimes okay. it can also be an issue with signal coverage and the range. You know, if you're in a corner of the lounge that doesn't get good range, a good signal, you may not be able to get connected. So sometimes right. it's a matter of finding where that Wi-Fi router is. You can usually see them, you know, hanging from the ceiling with little antennas sticking out of them, and try to sit near them.
All right.
The Rochester Airport.
On the 3G, I do have Netflix. When I'm watching a movie or something off of Netflix, will that be part of the 2 gigabytes?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you'll completely use your 2 gigabytes.
Well, unless you can get Wi-Fi.
For one movie. On the 3G, you could use the entire 2 gigabyte monthly allowance for one movie.
Right.
But hang on a second.
Wait a minute. She's on the Wi-Fi, though,
no,
does
she? That's not what she asked.
She's on 3G now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I didn't hear that part. I'm sorry. Yeah. That's what I was.
There is a setting in Netflix, and I'm going to try to find it and post it, where you can set your data transmission rate. So you can tell Netflix to give me a low quality signal. Because I'm on 3G, and then it won't use up all of your 3G network.
And frankly, if you're on a small phone screen anyway, you really don't need the huge HD.
But for clarification for myself, if she was in the airport and getting free Wi-Fi there,
she can use the Wi-Fi, absolutely. Yeah.
You can use the Wi-Fi and then not use your 2 gig. That's what I've been trying to do more of, is instead of eating up my 2 gigabytes. Because like I say, I'm new at this too, so that's why I'm learning from you guys too.
Yep.
As long as I can use the free Wi-Fi, I'm not eating up my 2 gig.
Right.
But that was my issue. I couldn't connect to the free Wi-Fi, so I went with the 3G.
Exactly. But if you turn off the proxy...
I just wondered how that would affect how fast that 2G... Now, what if I'm just checking emails and things like that?
Oh, you can go the whole month without using half of it.
Unless someone sends you a movie in your email.
Or a picture.
Or lots of pictures.
If you're one of those people who's got friends who send them cute cat pictures all the damn time... You will run out of your 2 gig very quickly.
Well, if I go over the 2 gig, what happens? It shuts off on me, or I just...
Depends on your service provider. Some of them slow you down. They all charge you more.
With both AT&T and Verizon on the iPad, you get a warning. I think you get an 80% warning. You get a 90% warning. And when you reach the cap, it stops and asks you to buy another month. It's a little erroneous to say you're buying a month. You're buying 2 gigs of data, or a month, whichever comes first.
Okay.
so if you use 2 gigs in a day, you're done. If you use 1 gig in 30 days, you lose the other gig because now it's a new month. Doesn't roll over. Yeah.
Yeah, and I never activated mine. I was in on that unlimited in the beginning, but I've decided to use it. So
I think the only one that's unlimited now is Sprint.
Well, now that's sneaky. It's unlimited 4G, but 3G is limited and tiered.
Well, I'll tell you what. I have a Sprint, the folks at Sprint sent me a phone to evaluate and write a review on, which I meant to bring today, but of course I left it sitting on the desk. It's nice.
Next week.
I'll be reviewing it next week, and it's 4G, and it's just astonishing. But, yeah, there's your deal, Chris. If you're on Wi-Fi, you're not using any of your 2 gig, and if you're not on Wi-Fi because it won't connect, then it's probably a proxy setting somewhere.
Okay. Now, I've actually shut off the cellular data port kind of thing when I'm on Wi-Fi. Do I need to do that, or will it automatically go Wi-Fi if that's the first choice?
Yeah, theoretically.
Theoretically, it automatically uses Wi-Fi, but you sort of have to pay attention to the symbol in the corner of the screen that if it loses Wi-Fi, it will automatically switch over to 3G. So most people manually turn their 3G off when they know they don't want to run up the bill.
Yeah, that's what I did, just to know that I wasn't on 3G.
Yeah,
but it'll say the 3G, and that's how I know that it's on the 3G.
Yep, exactly.
Okay, thanks, guys. It's been very helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, it's getting a little more confusing, and nobody is really has really come out and said, yes, if you set up Wi-Fi, 3G is ignored, and there should be some sort of little warning pop-up that says, hey, suddenly you're using 3G again because you lost your Wi-Fi signal or whatever.
There's an icon in the toolbar, in the menu bar you're supposed to notice.
Yeah, exactly. So here you are watching a movie on Wi-Fi and also paying attention to the little icon, which, by the way, has disappeared because you're watching the movie full screen.
Yep.
All right, our next caller is Jim from Rochester, New York, hub of civilization in the Western world.
Well, he's actually traveling in Ohio, but he is from Rochester.
Oh, well.
With a Bluetooth earpiece.
All right, that's important. Still not as good as not talking at all, but pretty good.
Pretty good, and I'm being extra careful and staying away from all the nuts on the road.
Oh, you can't stay away from all of them. You're riding with one.
That's true. That's true. But he's being quiet.
No, I meant you.
I'm saying he's being quiet.
All right, there you go. What can we do for you, Jim?
I have been looking for a while now for an inkjet printer that will do CDs and DVDs directly, and all of the manufacturers that I looked at, Epson, Canon, Hewlett-Packard, used to make them at one time but no longer do, and the only ones I find are commercial-rated ones, typically cost upwards of $900 or more.
Yeah.
So how do I print on the inkjet printable CD without using labels?
You buy a sheet of labels and stick it to the CD.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah. Stomper.
Now,
yeah,
Epson, the CD Stomper. Well, Epson makes the Artisan. Doesn't that still do it?
I think it does. I was just looking at that myself.
And the Epson also makes the Stylus.
The Stylus Pros could do it. The Artisan could do it.
They'll do it direct?
Yeah.
Really? Okay, because I've been on their website. I didn't see where they actually did that anymore, but there's so many of them.
Yeah, you have to go into each printer and check the specs of what that printer can do.
Okay, but I did
specifically
want to avoid labels.
Yeah, specifically the R2000 does it. The Stylus Photo 1400 does it. The Artisan 50 does it. Looks like all of the Artisans do it.
I did look at the R2000. I think that was discontinued by them, I think. It's still listed all over the net, and it's still sold, like, through eBay and stuff, but I didn't find it from Epson.
Yeah, I'm on Epson's page right now. It's
great.
20% off sale. It's on sale for $400.
Which one?
Okay.
The R2000.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a high-end.
I was going to say, somebody's...
That's a professional. It's a 8-color ultra chrome. It's got pigment-based inks, so it's designed for professional photographers.
Right. The Stylus Photo 1400, on the other hand, which also prints directly onto CDs and DVDs, is about $200 online.
Okay. Well, between those two, I'll buy one or the other. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thanks.
We're seeing a sort of the death of physical discs. Very few people are using physical discs for distribution anymore. It's easier just to throw pictures on a website, throw movies on YouTube, and passing out discs is...
Or Picasa, yeah.
Passing out discs is dying off.
I was telling Dave this before the show. Casual magic.
Yeah.
That 20 years ago, 5 years ago, 3 years ago, we would not have been able to do. I took a picture of my daughter before we went. We went to the Harry Potter premiere, which I still have not recovered from. You were a great dad doing that.
No, you were.
I had fun. I was with my daughter, and that's really all that counts.
What time at night was this?
Midnight.
There you go.
Till 3 a.m. It was the second Buttonumathon I've been to with her. The first one was the extended director's cut of The Two Towers. I believe that was an 11.5-hour movie.
One question. No, one other thing I have to point out to folks. And how old is your daughter?
19, and she wanted
there
to
There you go. There.
That's why I went.
That's what I wanted to get.
19 years old, and she said, Dad, I want to go to the premiere with you. I said, oh, hell yeah. I wouldn't have cared what was going on, where I was supposed to be.
That is special,
I would have done that.
That is special.
But I took her picture. She was all dressed up. She had a Gryffindor shirt and her time turner and her Potter glasses and her
and
wand.
And her wand.
And her Gryffindor earrings. I took a picture with my tablet. Then I took my RIT's tablet. Then I turned around to my computer, and it was already uploaded.
Yep, saw it.
And I just said, publish this to Google Plus and to Facebook, and it was done. There was no fumbling with CDs, DVDs, USBs, floppies.
Yeah.
Nothing. It was just click, publish. We were done within 30 seconds.
And then as we were going backwards, we're seeing how... We come from this, and we're doing it off of our phones.
Yeah, yeah.
15, 20 years ago, we were still putting in hard cards.
Yeah,
and hard drives and all this other stuff. And the internet, that wasn't even.
10 megabyte hard cards. And when the 20s came out, I couldn't keep them in stock.
Yep.
I absolutely could. People said, well, what am I going to do with the 10? Put it in next to it. Change the jumper. Now you got 30. 30 meg? 30 meg?
Carrying the phone around in a little suitcase.
Oh, yeah.
We had a customer bring in a 20-year-old Mac that she wants resurrected. And I'm...
What?
For a planter?
Well, it was all the envy when she was at a big unnamed photography company in town. Because it's the SE30.
What a machine.
It had the Motorola O30 processor in it. Yep.
Yep.
And so I'm scavenging through all our stuff. I'm trying to find a 20-megabyte SCSI hard drive.
Yeah, good luck.
And... We finally rented our old office in Mendon, and so like 3 weeks ago we threw away recycled literally all of our old computers that were in the basement, and now I needed one of those.
Man, that is the way it always works.
Yep.
And I was telling Dave, you know, a 10 meg drive, much less God forbid a 20 or a 30, would hold everything you ever wanted. When we had the Apple Ciders, remember those? 5 megabyte drive for the Apple III, it held every piece of software. Of business software that you could ever buy for an Apple III, and you still had 3 gigs of space left, which is more than you would need in a lifetime because there was no music and there were no pictures. At best, you had 2 ASCII pictures, one of Spock and one of a naked woman. That was it. Everybody had those. And then everything else was just text files.
Or what's her name from Charlie's Angels?
Yeah.
The Farrah Fawcett picture.
But it was an ASCII.
Oh, yeah.
For those of you who are puppies, look up ASCII art. Some really amazing stuff.
Did you hear about the multi-million-dollar Farrah Fawcett picture that was recently found?
No.
Apparently, when Farrah Fawcett passed away, she had willed some of her pictures to people. And there's this one famous picture of her. It's not the one in the red bikini, but similar. Taken by Andy Warhol, I think. And they finally found it in somebody's basement.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow. All right, we are going to take a quick break, but we, and that means all of us here in the studio and all of you out there in Radio Land, will be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. I'm listening to the music.
Okay.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Henry.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And yes, I will say that Computer Link Magazine has some great columnists, one of whom is probably late with his column already. Say goodbye to that free unlimited Netflix streaming to your with your DVD rental plan. The company on Tuesday announced new pricing plans that separate options for DVD rentals and watch instantly streaming. Going forward, access to unlimited Netflix streaming will cost $7.99 per month, as will the unlimited one DVD at a time plan. Together, one DVD and unlimited streaming costs $15.98 a month.
Essentially, they doubled the price.
Yep. Except we were on the three DVDs at a time and unlimited. We're going to save a ton of money because we're just going to simply...
Yeah. That's what all the commenters are saying. Well, I'm just going to stop getting DVDs, and they're going to lose money.
Yeah. Except that the... Well, anyway. For new members, these prices are effective immediately. Existing customers will see the price changes starting September 1. The plans also apply to other DVD rental options. Unlimited streaming plus two DVDs at a time will cost $19.98 per month. Three DVDs plus streaming will be $23.98, and four DVDs plus streaming will be $29.98 per month. With no streaming, two DVDs out at a time will be $11.99 a month. Currently, the unlimited streaming plus one DVD at a time plan costs $9.99 a month. With this change, we will no longer offer a plan that includes both unlimited streaming and DVDs by mail, Netflix said. Netflix has offered a $7.99 streaming-only option in the U.S. since November. The company has long said that streaming is its future, so switching to a DVD-only plan seems like a step back. Netflix, however, said it realized there is still a very large continuing demand for DVDs, both from our existing members as well as non-members. The DVD rental business still has a long life, Netflix said. In fact, when it launched streaming only in the U.S., DVDs by mail were treated as a $2 add-on, the company said. That, however, does not make great financial sense nor satisfy people who just want DVDs. There's also the bandwidth issue. Netflix streaming accounted for 20... Catch this. There's Netflix streaming accounted for 20% of all downstream internet traffic in North America during the peak hours of 8 to 10 p.m., according to an October report. 20% of all downstream traffic in North America.
That's just amazing to think of.
In Canada, where users face data caps, Netflix offers users the option to lower their video quality to save bandwidth. Actually, they do that everywhere. That option also showed up on certain U.S. accounts, too, but Netflix said it was probably part of a test cell. That's not true. Well, maybe it is. In January, Netflix released its list of high-performing U.S. ISPs in terms of streaming video performance, with Charter Communications, Comcast, and Time Warner topping the list. Expect more details at Netflix earnings call on July 25th. Are you using Netflix? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415, just like Joe did from Buffalo. Welcome, Joe. What do you know?
Well, then, I was listening to a newscast of somebody reading off the text of this new, you know, don't text while driving law.
Yeah.
And I was kind of surprised that they used the word receiving.
Yeah.
So seems to me, even if your phone is on vibrate and you wouldn't hear it at all, or didn't you tell us that you had an Android app that when you get a text, it would read what's in the text?
Yes.
So
well,
that makes that application, illegal.
It makes having a cell phone on while you're driving illegal. If somebody sends you a text, you're right. Apparently the way the law seems to read, and I'm not a lawyer, thank God, but I'm not a lawyer, and so I don't know exactly what they mean by that, but does receive mean the phone receives it or you looked at it? Because you can tell the difference if nobody's looked at the... At the text, your phone knows that, generally speaking.
But yeah, to receive a text, no one even has to be physically near the phone. Just the phone is on, it will receive a text all by itself.
The phone could be in the trunk of my car, and it would still receive the text.
Yep.
So yeah.
I just think they've reached a little far with this law. I understand they don't want distracted drivers, so, gee, wouldn't a better solution be... Hey, let's have a distracted driving law instead. And
well, then,
you wouldn't even have to specifically say texting.
Well, then, then how do you define distracted? You know, like I mentioned earlier, my wife chatting with me.
Right.
From the passenger seat.
She doesn't listen to the show, does she?
No. She's actually out of the country this weekend.
Oh, there you go.
So someone sitting in the car talking with you can be a distraction.
Listening to the radio can be a distraction.
She might do the podcast.
No.
We could suggest it.
But I was IMing her during the show last week. Are you watching? No. Why? Should I be? Are you talking about me? We are now.
You're right.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're absolutely right, Joe. Laws are one thing. Laws that have been tested in the courts are something else again. So we'll see what happens there. But what this likely is, honestly, is a bunch of lawmakers who don't have clue one what it is they're making laws about, just randomly making laws. And yes, we need something to prevent distracted driving. But somebody said, well, if they get a text, that's probably bad. And somebody else said, yeah, that probably is. They don't even know what texting is half the time.
Well, and you read about some of the people that get 20 or 30,000 texts a month.
That's my daughter.
It was a famous picture a couple years ago of a girl reading. It was this huge meme on YouTube, reading her iPhone bill. It was 300 pages long. Because it itemized every text,
mm-hmm.
and that was when she also had another phone getting texts. So she, 30,000 texts. That's 100 a day.
Well, my daughter's in college, and all her friends are scattered across the country for the summer. They don't talk to each other.
Yeah, nobody talks anymore.
They text each other all day long. The funny thing, I will say this: she has a friend. I think she has friends all over the country. This was in either Idaho or Iowa or one of the I states. Who was also at a Harry Potter premiere. And, of course, we were in our seats by like a quarter to 11, right, in order to actually sit next to each other. So we had quite a lot of time before we had to silence our phones. And my daughter is a movie nut. She loves them. So she will silence her phone. She'll even turn it off. So it wasn't like we were texting during the movie. She's talking with a friend of hers who says they're having a costume contest at her premiere. The guy who's in the lead is wearing a Darth Vader costume. So I said, keep texting. I want to know who wins this one.
Well, I did just find some of the subtext of the message. The new 2011 laws prohibit the use of video devices that show pre-recorded programming, i.e. DVD players, unless the screen is located behind the driver's seat. GPS and navigation screens are exempt.
Oh, that's good.
So...
because I can't, I get lost in my driveway. Right. I need my GPS to go anywhere.
So all those cars that have those GPS screens now built in, you can watch a DVD on those too.
Yeah, I know.
But it's a navigation screen.
There, one thing that I did notice, and I'm waiting to see if this comes to fruition. You know how you normally see graffiti painted on the different buildings, and especially on the expressway and all that? There is one when you're coming from, say, Fairport Net, you're on that's 490, and you head towards 590 North. Coming around that bend, somebody put on their graffiti about texting and dying.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
And I'm hoping that one stays.
Probably marked where somebody died.
Yep. Yeah, you're right, Joe. We don't know what the law is going to, like I said, it doesn't get tested until it goes through the courts.
Yeah.
But we'll see what that means.
While listening to this, I kind of know what you mean by distracted. How do you define distracted? Heck, sometimes I get distracted by good-looking women when I'm driving by them. It's like, okay, how are we going to stop that?
What about people eating?
So when the guy
eating isn't against driving, and you can be distracted, and then all of a sudden, like the person spilt the coffee in their lap and had a lawsuit.
Yep.
The guy who cuts you off on the left distracts you from the guy who's going to cut you off on the right.
Yep. But I guess the moral of the story here, Joe, is if you get into an accident, throw your phone in the back seat and say it was there all the time.
Yep.
We don't condone that here.
Don't condone that. Another thing we don't condone that I've seen is you keep a bottle of liquor, and after an accident, you drink the liquor, and then for weird reasons, driving under the influence laws kind of lessen the other charges you get.
That can't be right.
Oh, he was drunk.
That can't be right. And we certainly don't condone any of that. We don't even look forward to your emails because we don't condone it.
Yep.
All right.
People worried about their Netflix bill going up. I mean, we have provider after provider now imposing low usage caps and high overages. So it's like, okay, you think your Netflix bill just doubled? Wait until your internet provider says, oh, that'll be like $10 or $20 per extra 10 gigabytes or whatever.
10 megabytes, more like it.
I think part of this Netflix issue is because Comcast and Level 3, both huge internet providers, Have been suing Netflix to get more money out of Netflix. They're claiming, you know, rightly so, pretty much, that Netflix is generating so much traffic on their networks that they're not getting the return they should. Most of the big internet companies have sort of peering agreements. So Comcast will carry Time Warner traffic, and Time Warner carries Comcast traffic, and they don't really bill each other for it because it's all just part of the internet. But now when one little company like Netflix generates 20% of the internet usage, well, they're going to have to pay more.
It just amazes me. We're providing you with free internet, and then we're confused and surprised when you use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't expect you to use it like that.
Yeah, exactly.
One thing, that was the boss that just called and talking about apps, and we can let Joe and the rest of these folks know. We're pleased to announce that if you go to the App Store now, Jazz 90.1 has an app that you can download and listen to on your phone now.
Nice.
And it is there for the downloading, so you can go ahead and get the Jazz 901 app and put it on your phone and be able to take Jazz 90.1 wherever you go and listen to us via the internet.
Is it both Android and iPhone or just one or the other?
I believe it's both. Look it up.
I'm checking, yep.
Sorry, not going to help me much unless it runs on Palm OS.
Ah, there you go. You're one of them.
Well, you can still stream us on your computer.
Those are great phones, though.
Indeed. Thank you very much, guys.
All right, have a good one. Stay safe.
It's pretty tough right now. There's a lot of, in terms of bandwidth and data caps and everything else, Everybody's fighting for the same dollar, you know, and it's an interesting problem. Cities across the country are trying to put up municipal Wi-Fi to give free Wi-Fi to all their people. They're being sued by the internet service providers who don't want the competition. It's getting a little nuts everywhere.
And that goes back to the earlier caller about the free Wi-Fi at the airport. Rochester Airport often gets listed as having free Wi-Fi because of the Frontier Wi-Fi that Frontier has put through the county. It is free for 5 minutes to allow you to log into your account that you have to pay $20 a month on top of your regular Frontier bill. So if you're not already a Frontier customer, you need to pay for Frontier Internet services to use the Frontier Wi-Fi.
But if you are a Frontier Internet customer,
then you pay an extra $10 a month to get Frontier Wi-Fi.
Huh. But going back to the Netflix one, I saw that when that story broke, and it's like, you know what? That's why I just left Blockbusters, is to go to Netflix, because I was saving some money. I was doing the unlimited streaming and only one DVD at a time, which I thought was a decent price. But now that they want me to pay an extra $8 a month to have one DVD at a time,
there's a lot of competition now from Redbox, too. For a buck, you rent a DVD that night.
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of what we're talking about doing at our house. We're going to keep the unlimited streaming. And rent from Redbox.
Yeah, same here. That's what I'm thinking of doing. For a buck a movie? Yeah, I'll take that.
And what really has to happen is Netflix has to put more recent films in the streaming queue. That's part of the problem right now, is that the new releases don't show up as streaming.
No. We should explain Redbox, though.
Well, Redbox is a big red box. Yep. That you find all over the place. You put in a buck.
Usually in grocery stores and places like that.
Right. You put in a buck, you get a DVD, and then you can return it the next day, and it scans it in and out. It's very cool. It's a very cool little system.
Yeah. Very handy to have, and like you say, you can save the money. For a buck, you don't mind.
What's interesting is you see the different competitions between the different services. You've got the pay-per-view services on your cable saying, we get this movie 90 days before Netflix does. And then you get Redbox saying, well, we get this movie 90 days before pay-per-view does. And so it's like each movie gets to sign different deals with all of the different providers, so that if you subscribe to one provider, you may not get all the movies. So a lot of people end up subscribing to Netflix and Hulu and pay-per-view and everybody.
Now, I'm an old movie buff, so for me, a lot of the older movies are all available streaming. So I really love that part. Even so, not all the ones I want to watch are available, but a lot of them are. So I have a bunch of stuff from the 30s, the 40s, the 50s that I'll watch.
But you're right, though. As far as the Netflix, though, there are some that have been out over a year, and they're still not up for instant review, and that's like, why?
It's licensing. It's the old media companies that are afraid of the new digital media that you're supposed to buy the DVD. You're not supposed to rent, even rent anymore.
But you can stream it, and then, if I go and rent it, some folks are copying, which is illegal, but they're still doing it.
Yeah.
There's programs out there that folks are illegally copying software.
Yep.
I'm not going to deny it. I'm not promoting it in any way, nor is this station or anybody else. We see that it happens. Yeah, but we see that it happens. I mean, you see it all around.
In fact, I was just the other day, I was watching Wilfred, which is a great new a series on FX with Elijah Wood.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and the dog that he thinks is human.
Right, he sees it as a real person. And I was able to catch up by watching the streaming directly from their website. So that's another content provision you need to look for.
And all of them are taking up bandwidth, which right now for most online wired providers is free, but who knows how long that's going to last. All right, look, we're going to take a quick break, but we will be back on the other side of these lovely announcements with a whole lot more of the longest running show in the known universe. We are Sound Bites with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco. Look, all you have to do is give us a call and you can be part of the action. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or, of course, toll free at 1-800-790-0415. You're covering up the thing here. I can't read the numbers because it's being covered up. Thank you very much. And we'll be back. Now I've completely lost my train of thought, but it's probably not important. Let me just say that we're going to be back in just a couple of minutes with a whole lot more sound bites. I've probably got like another minute of talking before we're done. Oh, good. We'll be back. Sound bites. Member supported Jazz 90.1. I'm out of here.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WG
and Steve Ray on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Let me do a quick news thing. U.S. law enforcement agencies are increasingly obtaining warrants to search Facebook, often gaining detailed access to users' accounts without their knowledge. A Reuters review of the Westlaw legal database showed that since 2008, federal judges have authorized at least 24 warrants to search individuals' Facebook accounts. Many of the warrants requested a laundry list of personal data such as messages, status updates, links to videos and photographs, calendars of future and past events, wall postings, and rejected friend requests. Federal agencies seeking the warrants included the FBI, DEA, and ICE, and the investigations range from arson to rape to terrorism. The Facebook search warrants typically demand a user's neoprint and photo print, terms that Facebook has used to describe a detailed package of profile and photo information that is not even available to the users themselves. These terms appear in manuals for law enforcement agencies on how to request data from Facebook. The manuals, posted on various public advocacy websites, appear to have been prepared by Facebook, although a spokesindividual for the company declined to confirm their authenticity. The review of Westlaw data indicates that federal agencies were granted at least 11 warrants to search Facebook since the beginnings of 2011, nearly double the number for all of 2010. The precise number of warrants served on Facebook is hard to determine, in part because some records are sealed, and warrant applications also often involve unusual case names. One example, USA versus Facebook user ID associated with email address jimmy_white_trash@yahoo.com, which is a sealed case involving a drug sale. None of the warrants discovered in the review have been challenged on the grounds that it violates a person's Fourth Amendment protection against unlawful search and seizure, according to a review of the cases. Some constitutional law experts said the Facebook searches may not have been challenged because the defendants, not to mention their friends or others whose pages might have been viewed as part of an investigation, never knew about them. By law, neither Facebook nor the government is obliged to inform a user when an account is subject to a search by law enforcement, though prosecutors are required to disclose material evidence to a defendant. Twitter and several other social media sites have formally adopted a policy to notify users when law enforcement asks to search their profile. So our question to you, are you worried about what Facebook knows about you? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free at 1-800-790-0415.
Last night on the news, they just, I think here locally, just nabbed a girl for Facebook slander and that.
Yep.
And she's up on charges. And reportedly hacked into somebody's account and was saying malicious things and everything else. And she's up on some serious charges, I guess.
Yeah. The minute you put it down on paper, it's libel. I think that's it. Libel, slander is what you say, and libel is what you write. Right. And so they're looking at Facebook as libelous. You know, you can. It's a written record.
Yeah, true.
I think that's how it works.
We're not lawyers, and we don't play them on the TV.
Graffiti on the wall is.
Yeah.
Yep.
And people, you know, I talk to kids every day who just don't care what they put up on Facebook. They just don't care.
They don't understand that it's there.
Yeah.
Once you put it up on the web, it can get disseminated out to so many places trying to get it off. Forget it.
First, it never goes away. Second, Facebook will never take it away. And third, they'll give it to anybody who even pretends to have the authority to ask for it.
Or and anybody that Googles it. You know, it does a wild...
Right. Make it private, first, even if you make it private, trust me when I tell you that Facebook security is a sieve. It's really, really, really easy to get around. Secondly, I know for a fact that there are a number of companies around the world, and that number is huge, who have people in their HR departments whose specific job is to track applicants through places like Facebook and see whether or not they would make a good employee. And on top of that, oh, by the way, they also have ins that you don't know about, like these profile and photo, what do they call them?
Photo print and something.
Photo print and neoprint. Something. Yeah, neoprints and photo prints. They're essentially your fingerprints on the website. My golly, that's warm. There's a lot to be wary of on these social media sites, at least Twitter. And I believe I believe Google will tell you if you're being investigated.
You got to be afraid. I mean, like you say, you know, even if you some folks that are out, you know, partying and everything else, and they don't quite use the best judgment.
Although half the time it's not your fault. Some friend sticks a picture up there and tags you in it.
Well, yeah, then you sit there and say, then you try to get into, you know, the discussion of, well, she said I could, and no, I didn't, and yes, you did, and no, I didn't, and who's right, who's wrong. I mean,
we've had
with phone cameras now, and boom, it's published right
away.
You
can't do anything anymore. Everybody's got a camera.
We've had customers ask us, how do I get my picture off of someone else's Facebook page?
You don't.
Mm-mm. You can politely ask them, but there's nothing else you can do.
I believe you can untag yourself.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean they can't reach
it. It's still there.
You've got to go back and look every day. And anybody who recognizes you in that picture recognizes you without you being tagged.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
No, I fully admit that in my youth I did some stupid, dangerous, and maybe illegal things now that the statute of limitations has run out. But
we hope
nobody took pictures of
and they're not up on the web.
Exactly.
Well, and what
the only people who know about it were there with me, and they have a vested interest in keeping their mouth shut.
And that's what gets ridiculous. People take pictures of themselves doing illegal things, going, ha, 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 and then are surprised when the cops show up at the door.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and that's just, you know, winnowing the gene pool. I get that. But still, you got to be a little more circumspect about stuff like that, and people just aren't. I'll tell you what, I see things on Facebook. So far, Google Plus has been, of course, it's just geeks and early adopters right now, so mostly they spend their time talking about Google Plus. So,
last time I looked, I got like 30 people following me that I have no idea who they are.
They're
friends of friends of friends.
Well, and often what I find is when you post something, are we talking to John from Henrietta? Is that what's happening here?
That's next, yeah.
Oh, I did not see that come here. I apologize for that. We've been blathering about, and poor John has been waiting on the line. No, he isn't apparently waiting on the line.
Sorry, call back. We'll get
Sorry about that, John. I was blathering. I did not see that you were waiting on the line. That's my fault entirely. I completely apologize for that. We got so excited about things like Google Plus. What I find is that people... You know, I will make a comment that someone else thinks is pithy, so they and that's T-H-Y, and so they start following me.
Yep.
All right. I have noticed that our next caller is Vic from Irondequoit. Welcome, Vic. What's your question?
I was listening earlier about when Dave had the problem with that person in the car. But what I think is even worse than that is people that carry a dog in their front lap. I mean, I need one reason why you got to have a dog in your lap when you're driving.
Yeah, no. Nope.
That's worse.
Yep. 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 Well, what saddens me, and I saw it again on the way here, is people who let their dogs stick their heads out the window.
Yeah.
And that really saddens me. And here's why, for those of you who don't know. Dogs have no blink reflex. If they have their heads out the window, their eyes are wide open. And that means all the grit and dust that's in the air is scouring their eyeballs. And if you let them do that long enough, they will go blind. Because the dogs don't have that. I found out this morning, I went to pet my dog. She moved her head, and I stuck my finger in her eye. She didn't blink until she pulled her head away, but she didn't even blink.
You know, one other thing that is just as bad that really gets me upset is when I see people riding around in pickup trucks with their dogs in the back of the pickup trucks, not tethered down.
Just waiting to bounce out.
That scares me.
TV commercial with the dog sticking its butt out the window. He's innovative. No, he's stupid.
Yeah. Well, I'd rather see them stick their butts out the window, because if they stick their heads out the window, they will go blind.
Yeah.
It's a very, very bad thing to do. Thanks, Vic.
Okay.
Appreciate it. So be very careful. If you have a dog, be a responsible dog owner. Don't let them stick their heads out the window. Roll it down enough that they can get their noses out the window. Up to the window so they can sniff all the exciting smells.
Well, and that becomes an issue, too. You know, the dog jumps in your lap, and you're distracted, and so now we're going to have all animals caged.
You open the back passenger window a little bit.
Yeah.
Crack that enough for the dog to get their nose out so they're not bothering you. All right, our next caller is George from Rochester, New York. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Well, two things. Quick one is the call you just had was wondering why somebody has a dog in their lap. Well, that's so they can hold the cell phone. because it's illegal for the person. But anyhow.
Oh, that's a good idea. Prop it
studio,
to the,
by the way.
Teach the dog to hold the phone up to your ear.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. The question is, I just tuned in. I don't know if you guys talked about Google Plus, but if you haven't, if you could explain a little bit of how it's different from just Google, I think some of us would like to know.
All right. Google Plus is Google's new foray into social media. It's kind of, it's a Facebook-y, Twitter-y, I mean, it's social media, right?
Mm-hmm.
The big difference is that you can have circles of friends. In Facebook, someone is either your friend or not your friend, and it's quite promiscuous. You will just see everything they post. In Google Plus, you can put people into circles, which means you can follow just a circle. So you have, say, a circle of Rochesterians or a circle of technoids or, you know, that sort of fare. And you can just follow them. And more importantly, you can just share with them. So I have a family circle, and I will share pictures of my family that I don't want the rest of the world to see. And so no one else gets to see them. I can also limit who gets to share those on afterwards. In fact, I can prevent anybody from sharing them. That obviously you can still screen scrape or take a screenshot, but there's nothing that's ever going to prevent that.
Yeah.
But so those are the things that you will find that are different. There's also two other big things. There's Huddle, which is part of Google Plus, and it's multiple SMS messaging. It's essentially text messaging with a group.
Right.
So, and it's not really text messaging because it's more than 160 characters, but it's text messaging with a group, and you can have you can huddle with a circle. They also have something called Hangouts, and you can hang out with circles. And Hangouts is multiple video conferencing, so you can hang out with up to 9 other people, all videoing each other at once, and it is ridiculously cool.
That sounds great. Hey, for us unwashed masses, do we have to? Can we get onto Google Plus, or is it just for connected techies right now?
Well, it's in limited. They don't call it beta. It's a project, not a product. Yeah, and mm-hmm. so it's in limited thing right now. Sometimes when you go there, you will see in the lower on the right column, at the bottom of the right column. A link you can click to send invites to people, but it comes and it goes, and even when it's there, it doesn't always mean that you can send them the invites. But if you know somebody's email address, you can invite them. Like I said, it doesn't always go through. I invited my daughter about 20 times before one got through to her.
You can go to plus.google.com and try attaching it to your existing Google account, and they'll let you know whether you can get in or not.
Okay.
So it's interesting to see who's
so they help you out.
It's gonna be huge.
Yeah, it sounds great.
There's a lot of things I like about it, far more than I like Facebook. One thing is there's no Mafia Wars or Farmville or any of that stuff that I keep getting.
Thank God.
Yeah,
his wife loves Farmville.
Yeah, my wife is no Frontierville now.
Oh, Frontierville. Oh, we moved that.
Yeah, Farmville is last
oh,
week.
Jesus.
It's Frontierville is.
I don't get into the only thing I play there is Bejeweled.
See, I don't play any of that stuff.
When I'm bored once in a while and waiting for something, I quick go to Bejeweled. That is it.
But now you're going to be playing Paper Toss and Ninjump.
Yeah. Okay. I'm already on Angry Birds.
I've got one person on my Facebook list that's like 10 times a day. I scored 100,000 whatever on Bejeweled. Or here's some jewels you can have for
you
your
can
account.
You can block those.
Yeah. Just those and not their other posts?
Yes. Block the Bejeweled thing.
Yep.
So, yeah, you can do that. But yeah, I'm really liking Google Plus. One of the things is that they're rolling it out very slowly for a couple of reasons. One is they really, really, really want to get it right. I say they're rolling it out slowly. There's 10 million people on it.
Yeah.
But the idea is they're rolling it out slowly. It's not a public product yet because they don't want to screw up like they did with Wave. They're being very careful about privacy. They've taken lots of suggestions, some of mine. I'm sure I'm not the only one who suggested mm-hmm. these.
Yeah.
But
well, it's
an
honor that
to see those things exactly come
some
up.
Some of it.
And there's a whole, they just did a whole refresh over the weekend, this Friday, Saturday. Not everybody's got it yet, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that's new and different. So they're moving along, and when it opens up, I honestly see it as getting gigantically huge. And of course, their stock prices went way up at this last earnings estimate from it, and it looks like it's going to be a pretty cool toy. I have already done Hangouts, the video chat thing, with people all over the world, and it's very nice. You can chit chat back and forth. The maximum is 10 people, you and 9 others. So it's never going to be, you know, it's never going to replace, Second Life or whatever for getting people face-to-face to each other. Googlers apparently don't have that limit. We do. And is that a limit that's going to be there forever? I don't know. Nobody knows yet. You know, part of it is that Google is not putting huge amounts of resources into this yet on their scale. Right, they may still have 200 million computers on it for all I know, but from Google's point of view, that's not a lot of machines. And they'll have more. Okie doke?
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Nick, you, everybody. 19 minutes after the hour, sound bites, member supported Jazz 90.1. You know the deal.
I don't believe I did that.
Well, it's been 10 seconds, so welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm David.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour,
I went to, you know, get up, yep, adjust yep, myself, yep. And I hit my hands on the buttons, and it's the wrong ones. And oh, well. Only here in radio, you know.
Exactly. Listen, the beautiful thing about live radio, you can get it right next week.
Oh, yeah.
We'll go to the phones now. Our next caller is George from Greece, New York. Welcome, George. What's your question?
Nick, have you lost control? You
said I never had control.
It was 15 seconds after that.
I know. I've never had control. Oh, no. It was Dave who said 10 seconds. It was Dave who said 10 seconds.
Yeah, that's 5 seconds of music.
And see, here's the thing you got to realize, George. I have total control.
Uh-huh.
These two guys.
He doesn't know what he's doing, but he does have control.
These two guys can sit here and talk all they want, and they've got buttons there that they can mute their mics. But see, I'm the only one that can sit here and go like this. And right now, you can't hear Steve or Nick no matter what. Yeah. And all you can do is hear them come across the screen because I have a full control.
Unplugging your headphone doesn't do anything to your mic.
No, I know. I was just saying, Man, oh man, you guys are brutal.
Get used to going.
What can we do for you, George? Let's let this be about you for a few minutes.
Here's a toss-up. Can you explain to me ActiveX Control? And I run into this when I get a notice to update my Adobe Reader.
Yeah.
And then it walks me through, and it seems to be sensitive. It says to settings on security.
Yeah.
And it goes on to say to install ActiveX Control, but I'm always hesitant to install something that I don't know what it is.
Yeah. ActiveX is a Microsoft thing that basically lets you it's a kind of an add-on feature. ActiveX is a language that they've added to Internet Explorer, and it's used to for things like Adobe and a bunch of others. They use that to provide services into the browser.
Okay.
You were about to say
ActiveX is a framework for defining reusable software components in a program language independent way.
Oh.
Yeah,
thanks. That commercial was brought to you by.
Yeah, well, I like Microsoft Thing.
It's a Microsoft Thing. It's not important exactly what it is technically, but basically what it is it's an add-in that has hooks into the browser. And so if I want to write something for Internet Explorer, I can write it to the ActiveX DLL, Distributed Link Library, and then it will hook into Internet Explorer and show it to them.
And what the Adobe Reader is trying to do is load a plugin into your browser so it can download the Adobe Download Manager so that it can download the Adobe Reader update, which is really annoying. Why don't they just download the update?
Well, and then the problem is that it is the main way people hook into Internet Explorer, so that's also the way all the bad guys hook into Internet Explorer. So when you get a thing that says, oh, ActiveX is trying to use your system, you don't know for what.
Okay.
It's really a kind of a semi-dumb thing on Microsoft's part. Yeah, I get it. ActiveX is trying to get into the system. But what's running ActiveX? Show me the next level, which is really what will tell me yay or nay.
Okay. Now, you've given a pretty good kind of a quasi-technical explanation. But I'm curious to know then, since I'm the one that purchases the Microsoft product, why haven't I installed it? Because that's part of what it is I purchased and wanted to have installed.
No, you see, you've mistaken the term purchase with the term rent.
Yep.
Well, lease, but
you don't own your operating system. Read the end user license agreement.
I lease it though.
ActiveX
I have rights to it.
Right. ActiveX is installed and running on your system.
Right.
Other programs use ActiveX to do things, and that's what the message you're seeing is. You know, the Adobe Reader wants to use ActiveX to do something, and you have to allow it.
But it told me to install it. That's the puzzlement to me.
You have to install the Adobe thing using ActiveX.
Okay. It said install ActiveX Control.
Right. The Adobe Download Manager is an ActiveX Control.
Okay.
But the problem is it just says ActiveX Control.
It doesn't tell you what program is asking for it. It doesn't tell you what that program is going to do with it. It just gives you this vague, you know, generic term.
Right.
Okay. So in any case, it's harmless to me, as when it's coming as part of something that I'm interested in, like Adobe Reader, then ActiveX is a harmless item. Doesn't cause any other.
Generally, yeah. If something pops up asking for an ActiveX control and you didn't specifically say you wanted to install something, then
that's a red flag.
That's the time to worry, yeah.
It's essentially somebody knocking on the door. Unfortunately, until you open the door, you don't know who's knocking.
Okay. I like that explanation. Let me go just one small step further. Do I have to worry about having installed ActiveX control with it interfering with something else that I already have on my system?
ActiveX runs at a fairly low level. It's possible something might interfere with ActiveX, but not so much the other way around. What sort of thing are you thinking about?
It's the ActiveX control for the Adobe Download Manager. That's what prompted it, right? You got a message that your Adobe Reader needed updating?
That's correct. I got that message.
And so the Adobe Reader wants to install the ActiveX control for the Adobe Download Manager.
Okay, that's good. But let me go back to Nick's question. And he was asking, what was I concerned about? I think my experience over time is that each of the software vendors doesn't show much respect for the other one.
That's right. The truth.
When they want my attention and they want to create this passage, I'm probably willing to do it to get that, but they don't alert me as to when it might interfere with something else.
And that's exactly correct.
It's that possible interference that I'm trying to avoid.
That's exactly correct. Unfortunately, you really kind of can't.
Okay. So if that's the answer, that's the way life is.
Yep, yeah. Sorry.
Nothing more that I could do to protect myself.
Well, no. The problem specifically with Adobe Reader is that there are exploits discovered almost every day.
Yeah.
So you need to keep your Adobe Reader updated. You can manually go to the Adobe website and check yourself every day.
Or you can use Foxit.
Foxit as a PDF reader, it doesn't get the same holes that the Adobe Reader does. So some people choose to uninstall Adobe Reader completely and use a different PDF reader that doesn't have the holes in it that the Adobe Reader does.
Okay.
The exploits are coming out so fast. The speculation is that the bad guys have a whole pile of exploits they haven't told anybody about. And as soon as Adobe patches one, they just grab the next one off the pile and start using it to run bad programs.
And what that also tells us is what an insanely bad job the programmers did for Adobe.
Yeah. Adobe Reader and Adobe Flash are probably 99% of the exploits we see on the Internet.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because that software
It's installed.
Charge for it.
Yeah, it's installed in so many computers that the bad guys know it's there and they know how to get through
it. It's one of the reasons that a lot of companies are abandoning Flash and going to HTML5, which does much the same thing but isn't Flash, isn't an Adobe product. And that's why you see, for example, YouTube, all the old videos are in Flash, all the new videos are in HTML5. So that you don't have to have, eventually, the hope is you won't have to have Flash installed, so all those holes will be gone because the product is gone.
So now you've just touched upon probably one of the tender points between Adobe and Apple.
Yes.
When Apple, as I remember, wasn't willing to license or allow Flash capability with one of their newer products.
Well, there's two things. One is that apparently it's ridiculously badly written and very holy software, H-O-L-E-Y.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is it takes up an amazing amount of space and resources in the system and will drain the battery better, faster.
Okay.
Apple has always been sensitive to the fact that people complain a lot about their batteries. Their batteries are not changeable. Any battery dies over time. And anything that runs in the browser, runs in the system that drains that battery makes Apple look bad.
I see.
So that's one of the reasons that they've rejected putting Flash on their system.
There are a couple of third-party browsers for the iPad, or any of the iOS device. There's one called Skyfire. There's one called iSwifter. And what they do is it's a web browser, so instead of using Safari on the iPad, you use this Skyfire browser. And if you go to a page with Flash on it, the Skyfire server intercepts the Flash, transcodes it on the fly to H.264, and sends it down to your iPad. So it is a way of watching Flash videos on your iPad without using Apple's Safari. But it's a little slower and uses more data because it has to do this transcoding.
Understandably so.
You're right.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much.
Have a good one.
Yeah, that's... I don't know. I've never been a huge fan of ActiveX. I've never liked Flash. Some of the worst websites, some of the most abominable places on the Internet have 20 minutes of Flash introduction, and some of them don't even have a skip intro.
Right. I go to some websites, and it's a giant black page. The entire website is Flash.
The really interesting thing about that is Google can't see it.
Right.
So you can't search for those people on Google. Now, I get it if it's your vanity page, this is my dog playing in the dirt. Okay. But if you're a company and you expect to be found on a place like Google or Bing or Yahoo or anybody, don't use Flash because they can't see it.
Well, we just paid a fortune to hire all these Flash programmers.
Yeah, exactly. All right, our next caller is Skip from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Skip. What's your question?
Hello there. I called up with one question, and the last guy reminded me of a better question.
Okay.
First one was going to be, how do you get rid of this stupid Google Plus? Because I didn't sign up for it, it just magically showed up. But anyway, the main question I've got here...
don't go to it. It's like Facebook. If you don't go to it, it's not there anymore.
Yeah.
I get an extra bar on the screen, a little sign-in thing, and all that.
That's Google's new thing. It's universal across everything. One of the pieces of that is Google Plus.
Oh.
But it's the way their bar looks now.
Yeah. Okay. Whole new look and feel.
Anyway, my main problem here, when I go to Microsoft Update or Windows Update, it goes and cranks for a second, and then it comes up, did you notice the information bar? Okay, I understand that, so I close that and go up and right-click on the information bar, and it says Run ActiveX Control. You click Run ActiveX Control. Do you want to run ActiveX Control? Run. Screen goes white for a second, then comes back to the update page. Did you notice the information bar?
What OS are you running?
XP.
There are no more updates.
Well, which service pack?
As far as I know, I'm totally updated.
On Service Pack 3?
Yeah, in fact, I noticed this first on Monday, and then Tuesday, the little shield came up. There was an update from Microsoft. I clicked on that, and that update went through just fine.
Yeah, there still are updates coming for Service Pack 3.
Yeah, 3.
Not many, but what's probably happening is it sees there's an update, goes to download it, and it says, oh, I'm sorry, you're on XP? No, you don't get this one.
Yeah, well, it's the ActiveX control that isn't downloading and installing right. The actual Microsoft software update ActiveX program.
Sorry. Yeah.
That when you go to their website.
But is it for XP or is it for Vista and 7?
I don't know. It downloaded three things on Tuesday. That's all
See,
I know.
See, one of them might be still for only Vista and Windows 7, and that's why he's getting the error that it didn't install it because, it's not for XP because, like we were saying, less and less support is coming out for Windows XP because Windows wants to totally get away from it as fast as they can. They can't get away from it fast enough to encourage folks to get to their new operating system. They're trying to get more and more folks. Because I'll be honest with you, there are still hundreds of thousands of folks out there still using XP. They've got
and
no reason to change.
Happy.
Yes.
Yeah, well, my computer wouldn't handle Windows 7.
Right.
Well, do you think Microsoft cares about that? Go buy a new computer. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Unemployment and all that kind of
thing. I understand. Believe me when I tell you I understand. I'm just saying the way Microsoft thinks, they don't care.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. It didn't come up as an error. It sounds like a loop, a computer.
Yeah, essentially that's the problem. It might fix itself if you reboot, but maybe not.
I turned it off every night, turned it on this morning, and it's still there right now. I'm looking at it.
Yeah, you just turn off updates.
Yeah, turn off updates.
Well, if you turn on the automatic updates, that should work.
I've got the automatic updates, and that's why the little shield came up. And
yeah, it's just the manual updates that won't let you work through.
Yeah.
Okay. Good enough. I'll live with it then, I guess. Thank you.
Yep.
The wonders of Microsoft.
Well, yeah, Microsoft, Microsoft doesn't make any money if you
Well, they know better.
That's simple enough. When you've got 90% of the market, you can't grow anymore. All you can do is sell into that same market.
Yeah, and like you said, not everybody has the deep pockets, me included, to just go out and, I need a new system. Yeah, and you also have to know where that system is going to come from because that all costs money. And right now with the gas prices, they're starting to creep back up there, almost paying $4 a gallon.
Unemployment, it's coming down, they say, every month.
I don't believe that.
An awful lot of people, well, it clearly is, but part of the problem, of course, is you lose a $70,000 a year job, and then somebody else can hire you for $30,000 a year. Well, you're right. Unemployment went down, but you're not making anywhere near what you made before, and you're going to spend that on necessities before you go around buying new computers.
Yep.
I get all of that. Believe me, I do.
Then you're struggling to pay for the house and the two cars that you already own because you were making that $70,000 job.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right.
One thing for the previous caller, if you check in your Windows control panel, you can see the list of Windows updates that were installed. It may be that one of those last three updates didn't finish or didn't work right, and
good
it's
point.
Blocking the future ones.
Yep, good
if
point.
If you can roll back out of that last update or uninstall that last update, it may help.
Yeah. Yeah, and Microsoft is spending a lot less time, in fact, no time, testing Windows XP against their updates because they don't care anymore about it. They're still worrying about security updates for it, but that's about it. So the reality is that XP people are being abandoned and there's not much you can do about that anymore, except, of course, move to Linux. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. Give us a call, because at 39 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites right here on the truly great, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you...
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we, in fact, are Soundbites. And, you're going to love this one. Amazon said this week that it would push a voter initiative in California that could eliminate sales tax for virtual sellers with only a modest physical presence in the state. Its move instantly escalated the company's long-running battle with many states over collecting sales tax, taking the question directly to voters, and it has sharply intensified its dispute with physical retailers like Walmart stores and Target, which have vowed to fight the measure. Some political science and business professors say the conflict could take on the polarizing nature of Proposition 13, a decades-old referendum that limited property tax increases and remains a lightning rod in the state. Political experts say Amazon's proposed referendum is likely to gather the signatures necessary to appear on the ballot as early as next February. Nancy F. Cohen, a retail historian in the Harvard Business School, and other news, there's such a job as retail historian, said the initiative highlighted the evolution of internet retailing into a major highway of commerce. Internet shopping is no longer a small, out-of-the-way, quirky tributary of shopping. She said, this is the way retail historians talk.
Yeah.
It is the fastest-growing distribution channel in America. This is a referendum on how we're going to treat it. She said that what happened in California could catch on in other states and have a domino effect. Ms. Cohn, who poses the idea of exempting online retailers from sales tax, said the stakes are amplified by the fact that the state budgets, already under duress, need the hundreds of millions of dollars in potential tax generated by online retailers. Do we really want online retailers, big and small, to walk through a gaping door that says you don't have to pay sales tax, she said? I don't think we want to send a message that companies can fund a political campaign for a referendum and maybe your customers won't be subject to sales tax. Amazon argues that such sales tax, even if it raises revenue, ultimately hurts investment and job growth. Californians deserve a voice and a choice about jobs, investment, and the state's economic future. Paul Meisner, Amazon's vice president of global public policy, said in a statement about the referendum. The referendum is a response to a California law passed last month that requires internet retailers to pay sales tax if they have affiliates or subsidiaries in the state. State officials estimate Amazon will owe $83 million in taxes this year, nearly half of the $200 million the state estimates internet retailers owe overall. Amazon says the law penalizes companies that have not traditionally been subject to sales tax. So, should online retailers have to pay taxes? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
They did that in New York a couple years ago, that all the New York affiliates gave Amazon a physical presence, according to New York State.
Right.
And so Amazon canceled all the affiliates, and now...
Yes, I know.
Yeah. When you buy something from Amazon, they collect New York State sales tax. So they did the same thing in California, and they're gonna try to fight back.
I lost a lot of money. Yeah. A lot of money. I was making good money as an Amazon associate.
One of the worst ones was in Texas, where Amazon has a distribution warehouse.
Right.
They don't actually sell anything there. They have a giant warehouse where they distribute stuff. And so the state of Texas came after them for sales tax.
Right.
But on the other hand, speaking as a retailer, it's unfair competition. We get people all the time in the store that say, oh, I'm going to go buy it on Amazon because they don't have to pay sales tax.
Right.
Well, they don't collect sales tax for your state, but even then, you still owe the sales tax.
Right.
Every state income tax form that has state income tax has a line on it.
And if you get audited, you're done.
It has a line on it where you must declare your internet purchases, and telephone purchases, too. This has been going on 100 years with mail order sales over the phone. You must declare the purchases and pay the use tax. It's not a sales tax because you didn't actually buy it in New York State, but it becomes a use tax in New York State, and you still owe the tax. In fact, if you look closely at the short forms, there's a standard deduction. I think it's like $2,000 of a standard deduction that you can take. or you can itemize each of your purchases if you bought less than that and then pay less tax on it.
But, at the rate I buy books,
yeah,
believe me, it would be cheaper to take the $2,000.
But it's frustrating when people say, and especially when you're looking at something like a computer system, we get people that come to our store in Ontario County because it's only 7.5%. You know, across the street in Monroe County, it's 8%. And, you know, you buy a big computer system, that can be a lot of money.
Yes, it can. Yes, it can. All right, our next caller, and I'm going to assume this is actually Wayne from Holly, New York. Welcome, Wayne.
Yep.
What's
How
your
you
question?
Doing?
Good.
Got two friends that are having problems getting their Nook hooked up to home Wi-Fi, wireless Wi-Fi. Any ideas?
Well, what kind of problems did you have?
Well, they see the SSID, or they'll put it in either way if they got it secure. It'll say it sees it, and then it won't connect.
Okay, I've seen this happen a couple of times.
I mean, I Google it, and man, there's all kinds of things out there.
Well, here's the big thing. In general, Android seems to have a problem, we think, and nobody's talking and nobody's really figured this out yet, but we think they're having a problem with certificates. So what happens is when you connect to a website, if it's secure, it says you're allowed to be on this website for X, an hour, a day, a week, whatever the number is, right?
Mm-hmm.
When are you at the ocean? Or are you holding a seashell up to your other ear?
Oh, wait a minute. Let me turn the fan off. Maybe that's what you're hearing.
There you go.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. But, well, we also don't want you to overheat.
That's not in the rules to call.
Yeah, right.
Put that in there. Turn the fan off.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's also, and so what happens is it's called a lease. And let's say that lease is for an hour. Halfway through the lease, the software stack, it's the, mm-hmm. the software that connects you, tries to renew that lease. And if it can't, it tries again halfway through and then halfway. So half an hour and then another 15 minutes and another 7.5 minutes and another 3.75 minutes.
Is Nook on an Android system?
And we see this problem mostly exaggerated with Android's OS. I don't know what their software stack is doing. And so you'll find it on a lot of phones and tablets and, yes, the Nook as well. They've done a lot of updates to fix it. There are updates that have been out there for the Android and a couple of other, a lot of other tablets. The Zoom just got one yesterday. But we're seeing a lot of that coming, and it may well be that it will be fixed soon, but it is a problem. I have found that it depends a lot on what your security setting is. So, for example, if you use the weaker settings, weapon, like that, no problem, which is not necessarily a good thing because it's not necessarily the best setting. But if you use something like WPA, WPA2, particularly WPA2 Enterprise, there can be a real problem if it's not set up exactly correctly.
Okay.
So it isn't necessarily you. Now, that said, I have a Nook Color, and it hooks up just fine. But you may be using... I have two wireless networks in my house.
One of the things
one of them is on a lower security setting.
One of the things I've had luck with on my iPad, and I'm also seeing notes on the Nook, is that if you go into your Wi-Fi settings and tell it to forget your network, then you can often reconnect back to it again.
Yeah.
Normally what the operating system does is if you've connected to the network, it remembers that network so it can reconnect to it again.
Yeah.
If it's having trouble reconnecting, telling it to forget and then set it up as a brand new network.
Nook or?
On the Nook.
On the Nook, yeah.
Okay. We'll give that a try.
Yeah. But you know, the hope is they'll be updating that soon as they've been doing to other devices. Like I said, the Zoom just got one, and it had a really a nice effect on being able to stay connected. At work, we have WPA2 Enterprise. They made a change as well as the update to the Zoom, and so I found that yesterday I could stay on all day without a problem, which
Great.
Has never happened before, ever.
Thank you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, here's something. I don't know if it's still valid or not, but they say the NUC does not support WEP. So if your system is set to WEP, it may not work. Period.
I have not tried that.
I've seen some devices do that because WEP is so crackable now. It's the,
right,
you,
right,
you should
right.
Not
I don't
use
run
it.
WEP, yeah. So I never even thought of that. So there's another thing you might want to take a look at, Wayne, if the network is WEP, which is the lowest and really it might as well not even be security. It won't connect to that because it's so low. You might have to move it up to WAP at least, or something else. So that's a possibility. You're right. You're right. Yeah. I did not know that because I don't run that anymore.
I've run into a problem at my house because the Game Boy, what's the new little Game Boy box? The DS, Nintendo DS only supports WEP.
See?
So you have to use WEP or nothing. To get the Game Boy working.
Yep. And that's originally why I had two networks.
Yeah.
Because we had a device in our house that was only WEP, and then when we got rid of that device, I moved that up, but not to the highest setting as the other network.
Right.
You got to be. The problem is, we used to talk about SCSI voodoo. Now it really is wireless voodoo.
Yeah.
There are so many different settings and so many possibilities.
Networking.
When somebody calls up and says, "Oh, I'm having a problem with my Wi-Fi," man, sit down and grab a beer because this is going to take a while to even ask all the questions.
Well, that's the thing. They go, "Well, I got a simple question."
The simple question is, why doesn't my Wi-Fi work?
Yeah, and it's a simple question, but now it's going to take me an hour and a half to run you through everything.
Yeah, the questions are always simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. We hear that, this will be easy for you. No, it won't. No, it won't, because there are just some things that are simply not easy.
What's your credit card number?
Yeah, exactly. I'm telling you, I really am. I'm going to start up 1-900-ASK-NICK. And the heck with it.
Oh, there we go. I forgot to tell the guy with the Windows update, ActiveX control not working. We found a link on Microsoft's knowledge base on resetting your Windows update components, and that might fix it.
Yeah, so check our links at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. That music tells me that we are done for another week. I'm hopefully going to go home and actually get some sleep now. See if I can catch up. I don't catch up like I used to. You know, back when I was 20, if I stayed up for 2 or 3 days at a time, it was not a big deal. All right, we're done. Thank you so much for listening. We really appreciate each and every one of you calling in, listening, talking to us on the IRC chat or wherever you are. Back next week with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 55 minutes after the hour, Soundbites on the great member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you next week.